joining us today, by show of hands, how many of you would say, this is the craziest week I've ever gone through in my life? Now, how many of you know that I can't see you when you raise your hand? And how many of you still raised your hand knowing that I can't see you? All right. But I do think words like crazy and scary and confusing kind of sum up our experience of this week. And so after spending a week of being bombarded with news and information, I think it's good to just pause. Just a pause and worship God and to hear from Him. So that's what we want to do in these moments. Forbes magazine recently published an article about that we're coming to the end of the information age. And they said, as you well know, that access to information has never been easier. And some of you thought this week, I wish it wasn't so easy. I've got so much information. I'm on information overload. And maybe at some point you just kind of said, we gotta turn off the TV. I gotta shut down the computer. And all of this, we're able to connect in ways that we have not been able to, like we couldn't even have dreamed of maybe a decade or two ago. But the question is where has this brought us? And the Forbes article, here's what it concluded. It said, despite the fact that we are supposed to be more connected than ever, many people are lonely and starved for genuine human attention. In other words, we're not connecting. I was listening to ministry leaders. I think most of us in ministry this week were, the church really acted like the church. We came together and said, okay, what are you guys going to do this week? And we're communicating with one another. And I was listening to a ministry leader, and he said this. He said, you need to understand, we no longer live in the information age. We live in the editorial age. He said, there's so much information out there, but everybody is giving their editorial on what is going on. Think about the news. You don't like one editorial, you switch the channel. In this editorial age, we have these words that have become household phrases. How about fact check or fake news? Those are household phrases during the editorial age. And I don't know about you, but I'm amazed of how many of my friends on social media this week became microbiologists, political pundits, and infectious disease experts. Here's the thing. If you only had 100 friends, you probably got 100 different editorials on what's going on in the world this week. We live in an editorial age. So what is the answer? What do you and I do when there's a million different narratives going out there, all proclaiming to hold the truth, and this time and opportunity where we have the best opportunity for connection, yet study after study shows that people are starving for genuine connection? How is it that you and I connect? And let's just for giggles, let's just throw in a pandemic at the same time. How do you and I, as a people of God, how do we respond to this situation? Let me give you an answer that I think is going to surprise you. I could be wrong. Here's my answer. We need to occupy the sanctuary. Now, just in case you didn't hear me clearly, let me repeat that one more time. We need to occupy the sanctuary. Now, I've already told you I can't see you, but I'm guessing some of you, maybe you turned to your spouse and thought, what is he talking about? We can't occupy the sanctuary. We're gathered together in groups of 10 or less, unless we're the Duggars. And how is it that we're going to occupy the sanctuary? All right, let me read a passage of scripture about a man named Joshua, because he knew how to occupy the sanctuary, and I'll explain this. So stay tuned in. Joshua 24, and I think it's going to show up on that screen next to me. Joshua 24, beginning at verse 13, and here's what the Bible says. I gave you a land in which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the rivers and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And he says, and if this is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether it's the God of your fathers, the God that your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did great things in our sight, and preserved us in all the ways that we went, and among all the peoples whom we passed. Occupy the sanctuary. What is the sanctuary? Some people would say a sanctuary is a place of refuge. Some people would say the sanctuary is that place where we gather as a church on Sunday mornings. Let me read in the Bible the first place where the word sanctuary appears. It's in Exodus 25:8. And here's what God said to the people. He said, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. Now, let me say something in case you forget everything else I said this morning, which you might. I want you to remember this one thing if you forget everything else. God wants to be with his people. The creator of the universe wants to have a relationship with you. That's the story of this book. The story of this book is a broken world and broken relationship where God himself makes that right. Where God himself and the person of Jesus Christ makes the world right. God himself brings us into relationship. So in a world of disinformation, in a world of disconnect, the God of the universe wants to connect with you. He wants a relationship. Listen to the words that he spoke to Joshua. Joshua 1, 5 through 6. God himself speaking to Joshua, he says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you, and I will not fail or forsake you. And this is a promise that is later repeated in the New Testament, that God was going to be present with his people. And in the Old Testament, he was present in the sanctuary. And in fact, the sanctuary was in the Ark of the Covenant. And as the people entered the promised land and battles began to take place, there's this pattern. If you read through the Old Testament, there's this pattern. If the Ark of the Covenant, if God's presence was there, they were victorious. They did not have God's presence, they lost those battles. And so I have a question for you today. In the midst of everything that's going on, do you want peace? Do you want to experience God's peace? Do you want to experience his victory? Do you want to experience his hope? Well, I want to tell you that that is found in the presence of God. Find where God is working and occupy that space. In simplest terms, here's the sanctuary. The sanctuary is where God is present. Sanctuary is where God is present, and we want God to fight our battles. So I'm not asking you when I say occupy the sanctuary, I'm not saying, hey, come in and sit in this building. I mean, we could put up mannequins to do that, right? I'm a little disappointed that the worship team didn't put up mannequins, but I can move on with that. But we need to occupy the place where God is present. I guarantee you that's going to change your life. It's going to change the life of people around you. And here's the cool thing about occupying the sanctuary or being in the place where God is present. We don't have to figure that all out. In fact, God told Joshua, here's the places where I'm present. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you four of them where God is present to his people. There's probably more, but I'm just going to give you four this morning. The first place, it's right here. You want to be present to God? You want to experience God's presence? Be a people of the book. Go to the Word of God. Somewhere in this editorial age, I need to find a place. I need to find something where I can measure the truth and the information and everything that's bombarding me and say, okay, how do I live? How do I live in the midst of chaos? What's right and wrong? Joshua says this, Joshua 1:8. God's speaking to Joshua. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will receive success. You know what I know about this book? This is the one place where I know God has spoken. It's the Word of God. It's how I know right from wrong. And I know many people listening are saying, yes, we believe in the Bible. You might even have amen as we went through that. But sometimes I wonder, do we just pick out the stuff that we like? We go, this is a good verse, and my neighbor needs to obey this verse. Or is this something that we meditate on? Do we look and we take it for what it is, that these are the very words of life? This is the God-inspired Word of God, and it has purpose for my life, and it has meaning, and it guides me, and it directs me. Do I look, and do I follow the ways of Jesus? And I read these words, and I go, man, that's a tough teaching. But you're God. You're God, and I want to follow your ways, because you say, in following your ways, that's where I have success. Do we delight in this word? Remember this, as I said before, God wants to be with his people. God wants to communicate with you. God wants a relationship with you. And he has spoken to you through this. Be a people of the book. Here's the second thing. Be a people of prayer. Joshua was a man of prayer. I mean, this guy prayed for the sun to stand still. That's a dude of prayer, right? Everybody agree? Amen. Wave your hands up there and there. Yes. And Jesus even talked to us. He talked about us having faith that we would pray that mountains would be moved. I want to suggest we have some mountains in front of us right now. And it'd be a really great idea for us to pray and say, God, move these mountains. Move the mountains that are in my city and my state and the country and the world around us, Lord. We pray that you will move mountains today, Lord. Now, when you pray that prayer, as I've told people before, don't be surprised if you pray that God will move a mountain, that you wake up tomorrow and there's a shovel next to you. Okay? God may call you into action as you pray for that. And that's what Joshua did. Joshua is a man of prayer. He spoke to God every time before they moved. If God said, cross that river, they'd cross that river. Joshua would pray, and God would say, march around the city of Jericho and then blow the trumpets. And when God said that, that's what they did. Now, I don't know about you, but if Joshua came to me and said, I prayed and God said, we're going to march around the town and blow the trumpets and the walls are going to come down, I'm going to say, does anybody else have another plan? But that's what we do sometimes in life. We say, do we have another plan? We need to go to God. We need to go to his word. Go to him in prayer so we're not creating our own plans out there. And God doesn't just reveal himself in his word. He reveals himself in prayer as we talk to him. James 4:2 tells us this. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. What is it that you need that you're not going to God in prayer? Now, some of you may be thinking, why do we have to ask God? I mean, doesn't God already know what we want? Of course he does. He knows what you want. Let me give you at least two reasons. One, it's what I said at the beginning. It's about a relationship. God wants to commune with you. God wants to be with you. God wants to hear from you. Tell him everything you're frustrated with, you're scared about. Bring that all to him. He wants that relationship. And the second part of prayer is that it's not just us telling God what to do. At some point in our prayers, as you're praying today, pause and say, God, where is it that you're at work? What is it that you want me to do? Here's the thing. When we follow God, that's the place where we have 100% success. Now, it may not turn out the way you want it to, but we know that we're walking in God's will. Where is God present? He is present in the prayers of his people. Third thing, let's be a people that identify with God. God's people were to be set apart. And in the Old Testament, the sign of the covenant was male circumcision. Guess what the sign is in the new covenant? It's still circumcision. It's circumcision of the heart. And I have a question. As God began working in your life, as God began working, shaping you in the image and likeness of his Son. Now, when we baptize people around here, it's when they come with a confession of faith, they're saying, hey, I'm placing my faith in Jesus Christ, and there's some evidence that God has been working in my life, God is speaking in my life, God is already working in my heart. And we look at baptism as this outward sign that tells the world we're making this confession, we're identifying with Jesus. We're saying, I've died to sin, and I'm alive to Christ. It is Christ's life that is in me. And Joshua called the people. This is Joshua's last charge to the people that he loves. And he's telling them, identify themselves with God. And not just ceremonial, but with your lives. How you live your life. How you proclaim as you speak, as you live. And listen again to what Joshua said. He said, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away, he says, put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. He says, and if this is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, he says, then choose for yourself. If you're not going to put those away, he says, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether it is the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land of which you're living. And he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will identify with the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the universe. And this is this critical juncture in the book of Joshua. And this moment may be a critical juncture for you. You know, we're going through this sermon series on excess baggage. And Joshua knew that the Israelites, they brought a lot of baggage with them. They brought the idols that their fathers served. And that's kind of like a default position for most of us. Like, we're gonna serve whatever our parents did, whatever the people before us did, unless we make a conscious choice. And maybe they served the Lord God Almighty, and that's a really good conscious choice to serve that same God. But Joshua says, either way, you need to make a choice. And so today, maybe a choice for you. And one thing that I particularly notice here is he doesn't say, or you can serve nothing. The fact is, you and I are going to serve something or somebody. Chances are, in this last week, whatever you serve, whatever you value the most has risen up to the surface. I just about guarantee that happened this week. And my question is where is your trust? where is your hope? Is your hope in the living God, or is it in something else? Because the living God that has revealed himself here and in the person of Jesus Christ is the only one, the only thing that has ever been faithful to every promise he's ever made. Only one of those things that we're trusting in, if it's Jesus Christ, he is the only one who took your sin upon himself and defeated sin and defeated death as he rose from the cross. Here's my question. Will you choose him today? Will you come before him and say, I'm thankful, Lord Jesus Christ. You've taken care of my greatest needs. You died for my sins. You took my guilt, my shame upon you, and you have now given me your righteousness. I now turn from my sin. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And those of you that have already received him, you already call yourself a Christian, will you today choose to follow him? Say, I don't understand what's going on. I'm confused. At times I'm afraid. But today I will choose you. You are the one that I will serve. Let me give you one last one here. On how do we occupy the sanctuary? We need to be a people of community. We need to be a people of community. We need to be real with one another. We need to do life with other people. God could have just let Joshua or Moses, right? He could have just said, hey, I just want a relationship with you. You and I, we can have this personal relationship and we won't worry about anybody else around us. But he didn't. God led them to lead the community of God. That's the vision of God, by the way. You read this from Genesis to Revelation. There's this vision of God that he wants to live with a redeemed people who freely worship the triune God from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. God is about community. And I know the current circumstances are not right for us gathering together. But here's something we cannot forget. In our, what we're calling social distancing, and you know, I recommend that. Let's fight this battle here. But in the midst of that, do not forget to connect. I thought about that as I was seeing those names coming up over and over. I'm like, it is so good to just see that person's name today. Yeah. You know, that is awesome stuff. We need to connect. We need to connect with God. We need to connect with one another. You were created for community. That is God's design, that you were created for that. And so call somebody today. Call somebody that you haven't talked to for a while. Call the neighbor that's a couple doors down that you're not sure that they're okay. You check in on them. Send a text. Do a face-to-face. Talk to your neighbors. You know, maybe you peek over the fence and you got that little thing going on. Talk to your neighbors. Do a Zoom. Do a Skype. You can join one of the online connection groups that are going right now, and we're going to start some new ones. Let's connect together. We were created for community. Don't forget that. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to one another and talk about our struggles and pray for one another. And here's the thing. One day, we're going to gather back together and we're going to celebrate and we're going to sing praises to God as a community. But in the meantime, we're going to stay connected. We need to occupy the sanctuary. We need to be in the place that God is, and God is in community. You and I are better together. When we gather and we connect, even as we are in this moment, as the church, we are in a place. This is where God says, I've chosen to reveal myself in Scripture and in prayer and with people that identify with me and in community. These are places of sanctuary. It's a place of refuge. It's a place where God chooses to be present. Let's choose this day, as Joshua said. Let's choose this day to serve God. Let's choose today to occupy the sanctuary. I'm going to have the worship team come back and lead us in some music, but I just got a couple questions as we're closing here. Are you and I, are we as a church, as God's people, are we a people of the book? Are we going to the Word? Are we a people of prayer? That's number two. And are you identified with Christ and what He has done for you? And lastly, who is it that you're going to connect with today? Connect with somebody. You and I were designed for community. Father God, we know in the midst of chaos, You are present. You are with Your people today. You have spoken in Your Word. You have given us what we need. You've invited us to prayer and to identify with You and to connect with others. Have Your way with us today, O God. We love You and praise You in Christ's name. Amen.